Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Quick score update. Third quarter, Lakers now have the five-point lead over the Nuggets, 64-59. Ooh. Anthony Davis checking out of the game for a bit of a rest. So the Lakers, this would not only be not even a feel-good win. This would just be a, oh my goodness, the sky isn't falling at least for a day. No LeBron. He's not playing tonight after re-aggravating his ankle injury. The Lakers, they need something because they are just absolutely sputtering right now.
Got to find some way out of this tailspin. I don't know who the hero of the day is going to be, whether it's Anthony Davis, who's playing a better game tonight than we've seen. Right, 26 minutes, 8 of 14 from the field, 21 plus 9 overall, 6 boards. He's been uneven, to be kind, I think. And he's in the tunnel kind of stretching and up and moving around, talking to the trainers as you and I begin this third hour of the program. But, you know, Kyle Kuzma doing a lot of talking, not doing a lot of anything in terms of offensive production. Caldwell Pope and Caruso both now into double digits, combined 6 of 14 from the field, but trying to figure out where you're going to get some bench support, just 12 points off the bench tonight. And I know, yes, it's a two-point game, 64-62, but still, it's a point in time where you need other heroes to find their way, especially if LeBron really did re-injure that ankle to where it's not a day-to-day, but we get back to week-to-week.
So we'll keep you updated on this one. Again, it's now a two-point game, but the Lakers have been playing pretty well the past few minutes, 64-62, just over 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. And, you know, really quick, before we get into Steph Curry and Russell Westbrook and what they did tonight, why are you laughing? Why?
Back to Steph Curry. You're just trying to make more friends on social media. How to make friends and influence people or something like that.
You know, look, clearly we talked a little bit about Francisco Lindor last hour, who is the number one trending topic in sports right now. He's been terrible with the Mets.
Yes.
He's hitting 160. He's 0 for 4 tonight. And I mentioned last hour that, you know, there's a thing that, you know, now he's starting to understand that when you're a $300 million player, when you go 0 for 4 on a generic May night, you're the biggest story, and how do you deal with that pressure? And that's the thing that you never know about a player, is that a guy can be a $300 million player, right? You can say, oh, this guy's a $300 million player when you're talking about somebody. They're going to get that kind of contract.
Well, because the agent goes in with the comps, and away you go. Sure.
Sure. You say that guy's a $300 million player. But what nobody knows is the guy still a $300 million player when he's actually making $300 million? Like, once you give him that money, is he still that guy? Is he still going to be able to play and hit and be the same player and mentally be in a great place and not have to worry about what happens when you're slumping, especially if you're making $300 million in New York? You're making $340 million in San Diego, doesn't matter. Nationally, we can say whatever the hell we want to about Fernando Tatis Jr., but in San Diego, it's we love the guy. No, we love him, love him, love him, love him, love him, love him. So, hey, making $300 million in San Diego, that's actually okay. You make $300 million in New York, you don't get time to say, oh, you'll get going at some point this season. No, it's now. It's now. You do it now. And if you don't do it now, you're going to hear about it. And the voices are going to get louder and louder, and the pressure is going to get more and more, and the microphones are going to get bigger and bigger. When you make $300 million in New York, are you still the same guy? Because it's not the same as making it in other parts of the country, and it's not the same as when you were just a $300 million caliber player. Now that you're making it, can you actually do it? And the answer so far for Francisco Lindor is he can't. I mean, yes, it's a small sample size. It's a little bit over a month, but he has been absolutely terrible for the Mets so far this season. I mean it. A.J. Pollock knocked in 8 runs yesterday for the Dodgers, right? Matt Beattie knocked in 7. Lindor's got 3 RBI all season. I mean, all season, he's knocked in three. Not that the rest of the Mets hit because they all stink. They fired their hitting coach tonight. But
Chili,
I mean,
Davis.
This is a guy that you get, I mean, really, three RBIs in the first month. This is it. I mean, this has been an abject failure for him and the Mets so far for the first month. Again, it's 1 month of a long-ass contract. But still, I can't say I'm filled with warm fuzzies how this has started so far.
Oh, no, certainly. But here's the thing. It can't get any worse. Like, the only thing that could
Don't say that.
Well, I have one scenario by which it could get worse, but I'm not even going to utter that into existence. It's a long season. Still getting his sea legs under him, like the way I'm doing this for you. I am trying to help you in
sea
every
lugs.
Way I
yep,
can.
Sea legs.
Look, eventually, everybody's focusing their attention on the Knicks now. So that'll at least get some of the media pressure away from him.
Oh, that will help. Yeah, that will help. Yeah, that'll
right?
help.
Right, and eventually, you know, they'll turn on the Yankees because that's what they do. So, like, it'll help that really nobody cares about the Mets except you.
Okay. All right. Well, just know the whole sports world is watching after tonight.
You and Seinfeld.
Whole sports world is watching. There it is, right there.
They're all going to laugh at you. Wasn't that the name of a comedy special at some point?
No, that was what they said at the end of Carrie. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you before she, spoiler alert, before she just like leveled everybody at the end of the movie.
Ooh, that was, it got a little darker than I thought. But yeah, okay.
Well, it did. I mean, she was dating the greatest American hero.
Believe it or not, William Cat. Cat, everybody.
So tonight,
didn't think I'd know that, did you?
No, I knew William Cat, and I knew, believe it or not, George isn't at home. But I'm pretty impressed that you knew William Cat there.
I got problems. What can I say?
That's pretty good. So tonight we have seen two huge performances in the NBA. Steph Curry goes for 41 points tonight. Golden State beats New Orleans 123-108. And let's hear a little bit of what that sounded like.
Wiggins left elbow, tentative move to JTA. Quick pass to Draymond over to Curry. Curry fires away right side, knocks down a triple.
Warriors Radio Network on the call. So now the Curry MVP chants have come back because now, the Warriors are in eighth. They're in eighth place. Well, if we're talking about Steph Curry for MVP, in eighth place. Look at there in eighth place. We have to talk about this guy for MVP.
LeVert tried to answer back with a three out front. No, Westbrook all the way up court. The Beal to the basket. Touchdown. Bacon score right hand. Touchdown. And Bradley Beal gives a touchdown signal with his arms.
So more touchdowns from Russell Westbrook this year or Taylor Heineke in Washington? You decide. tonight, Russell Westbrook became the only player with multiple 20 assist and 20 rebound games in NBA history. Right? Wizards win 154-141 on Monday night, moving closer to Indiana in the playoff standings. So right now, after what he did tonight, it guarantees that Westbrook will average a triple-double in a season for the fourth time in his career. Now, not for a second do I think Steph Curry is the MVP. Not for a second do I think that Russell Westbrook is the MVP. But if you want to say Steph Curry's the MVP, okay, then you have to say Russell Westbrook might be the MVP more than Steph Curry. Both of their teams are on the fringes of the playoff chase, right? We have Golden State in eighth place, but they're, you know, one game out of being in 11th place. All right, the Wizards are in 10th place. They're a couple of games out of being in 7th, but they could easily drop out into 11th, although it doesn't look like it. It looks like they'll stay in 10th place here. So both of these players have led their teams to about the same point in the standings. And really, I've said from the beginning, if you're the MVP, your team has to actually accomplish something. You can't just be a guy that's put up great stats and put up numbers, because clearly, as good a year as Curry is having, it really hasn't dented the win-loss column as much as great players normally.
Well, they're up
the 17
from last year, though.
They are up 17. That's great.
Showing his value.
But if Steph Curry's an all-time great, you know, if Steph Curry's an all-time great MVP, they should be better than trying to hold on to and staying in the play-in round, right?
I mean, see, really, now you just offended the sensibilities of so many people. When you invoke the all-time greats, like, how dare you?
They should
be
higher.
Dick Vitale's just losing his mind. He goes, I saw it all. I saw it all on TV.
Everybody, I watched Steph Curry for the first time. Oh, what a diaper dandy. Oh, no, he's been in the league for like 13 years. Oh, it doesn't matter. He's a Windex player. No, he doesn't get rebounds. Doesn't clean the glass. Oh, he's a PTP-er. Hang on, prime time player. Okay, I'll give you that one, Dick. You have that one. Everybody just loves him. Right? Everybody loves Steph Curry, and that's why he gets the reputation that he has. Right? They love Steph because Steph just has that image. He's the NBA superstar that doesn't make waves, that hits big shots from 30, 35 feet away, and he just has that it factor of, boy, he's got the boyish face, and everybody loves him. Russell Westbrook, nobody can stand the guy. Right? Nobody likes him. He's too angry when he plays, and he upsets teammates, and other teammates don't like
him. That's why I love him. And he
takes the ball away and rebounds and all these. No, I don't like Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is having the same kind of season as Steph Curry is, okay? Steph Curry is averaging 31 points a season. That's pretty good. We've seen lots of guys average 30 points a season. Russell Westbrook's averaging a triple-double for the fourth time in his career. That guy's going to the Hall of Fame. And so if you want to talk about Steph Curry for MVP, you got to say that maybe Russell Westbrook's having the better year. Because what's better, a guy averaging 31 or a guy averaging a triple-double? I tell you, there's lots of guys that can average 31. Lots of guys can do it. Oh, but Steph, the way he hits, oh, the way he scores the 31 points, got it. Because he can't get in and score unless it's a transition hoop. He doesn't score from inside the three-point arc. All right? He just doesn't do it. He doesn't do as much for his team as other players do. He doesn't. That's just how he affects the game. He finds a way to get his shots. Look, like I said, he's the best shooter I've ever seen. But Dennis Rodman was the best rebounder I've ever seen. I was never going to vote for him for MVP in the NBA. I wasn't going to do it. It's got to be realistic when we talk about Steph. We just fall in love with the videos. Go, wow, what a great blow. Wow, what a great shot. What a great dog. Yeah, he's the MVP. No, come on. Let's be fair when you talk about players that are raising their teams to a higher level. And I feel like I've been saying that phrase for the last 10 days. You got to raise your team to a higher level if you're that kind of player. And okay, being 500, that's nice, but it's not enough. All right, Julius Randle has the Knicks now 9 games over 500. The Knicks have clinched a winning record. The Knicks have clinched a winning record. The Knicks have clinched a winning record. The Knicks have clinched a winning record.
Stop. The power of Christ compels you. What, are we going all exorcist?
I wanted you to think something happened and it was just a record skip. Yeah, it was like a record skip. I mean, you can say, okay, what Julius Randle has done, that's pretty impressive. Oh, but it's the East versus the West. Whatever. You want to do that, that's fine. But still, you're talking about, I can't penalize a guy for what he's actually done for his team. Does it mean Joel Embiid isn't great and isn't the MVP because the Sixers are in first place in the East? Oh, but it's the Eastern Conference. Oh, but Embiid's the MVP. I mean, no one evaluates the MVP fairly. And if you evaluated the MVP fairly, it would be pretty easy to see the guys, the three or four guys at the top, and it's a pretty easy back and forth and path, as you can tell, how one guy gets there and only a couple other guys are really worth being in the conversation.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I mean, and we're watching this game tonight, right? The Lakers and the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic being the guy that everybody's looking at. It's like, wait a minute. He loses to the Lakers in this game. It's like, what are you doing, man?
He's not the MVP.
The way it works. It's night to night anymore. And I had a great rant a week ago. I equated to our superhero culture. Especially during the pandemic, we've been looking nightly for someone to save us. And in sports talk radio for months, folks couldn't figure out what they should do. So all they did was MVP talk. And once that continued, it was like, hey, we can apply this to the NFL. So let's do more MVP talk. And that's what we've had all the way through. So it's not only, hey, everybody's home binge watching Disney Plus Marvel movies and waiting on the next Disney Plus Marvel series and going back and watching the other TV series, Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But now we're doing that on the big stage and just saying, all right, who's the best? Who's the best today? Who's the strongest Avenger? All right, which means who's the strongest MVP candidate today? Like, you know, I joked about it. In all seriousness, though, 2 weeks ago, we had a game where Steph Curry shot miserably, right? He was, what, 5 of 24 or some nonsense? I go, hey, he just shot his way out of the MVP conversation. The next morning, that was the hot take on all the TV shows. And I said it, and I literally had a bucket full of sarcasm under me. That's, it was dripping from my mouth, and it became a serious topic. That's what we're doing. It's nonsense. It's inane. But certainly tonight, if Jokic loses, it's like, yeah, all of a sudden, we got a problem. Especially because Joel Embiid beat down the ferocity and the untamed just caginess of the Chicago Bulls at their 26-39 record. Of course, he still missed 30% of his team's games. So is he the MVP? I mean, there's so much to it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. I mean, really, you see the folly of Steph Curry for MVP, but you also see, oh, now I understand that if you're really the MVP, your team is better, right? Because look at the Wizards, right? No one would say that Bradley Beal or Russell Westbrook is the MVP, even though you got a guy averaging a triple-double and a guy who's first or second in the league in scoring, depending on the day. And it's a team that's still five games under 500. So are they really how valuable are they if that's where they're at? Well, but Steph is valuable. But Steph is valuable. Oh, so he is, but these other two aren't. I mean, you got to be fair, and no one's being fair.
Well, since you're hanging with the Wizards, and we'll stick to that analogy, right? Because people say, oh, Bradley Beal's got this scoring total, so that disqualifies Russell Westbrook and vice versa. It's like, well, no. Look at the rest of the Warriors. It's like, well, they don't have a guy with monster stats. Wiggins is at 18 a game. Oubre is at 15 a game. Wiseman and Poole are both in double figures per night. So it's not like he's acting alone either. Just, you know, to kind of help you out a little bit there, buddy.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate that, pal. You're standing there for me.
Well, Twitter. You know, whenever you got stats at the ready, I mean, you got to have data. You got to have your data.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And game of the night in the NBA right now, Lakers and the Nuggets. Well, it's good news, bad news for the Lakers. Right now, the Lakers lead this game without LeBron James, 83-71. That's the good news. Bad news is, I don't think Anthony Davis is coming back into this game. He came out of the game a few minutes ago, before this big Lakers run has given them a 10-point lead. And he doesn't look like he's coming back in this game. He's got his shirt on. He's on the bench. He's celebrating with the team. He's got the towel over his shoulder. But he doesn't look like he is close to coming back in this game. You wonder if his night is done, if he re-aggravated an injury. But he is on the sideline, and he is not coming back in. He played tonight 26 minutes, went for 21 points and 6 rebounds. So whatever it is, the Lakers are going to be navigating the final 7 minutes of this game likely without AD, which has become pretty much a must-win game tonight, as the Lakers don't want to slide into seventh.
Absolute craziness if they end up winning this game with him sidelined and only playing 26 minutes in this game, because it'll start to embolden all of the Laker fans. See, we're not done yet! Right as they started sounding all the panic alarms over the course of the weekend, and then LeBron James comments and the re-injury, and it's like, well, look what we have. Now Marc Gasol is motivated. Mm-hmm. All it took was being demoted. All right, it took foul trouble from Drummond to get him into the game.
All right, it took
foul
trouble.
And then he came off like a man possessed, 3 of 4 from three-point range, plus 17 in his 13 minutes.
I like how you just slipped by it. It took being demoted. Well, and it took Drummond to get into foul trouble to put him back in the game. It took that to happen, but you know, but now he's playing okay.
But he was a motivated man because of that.
As I say that, AD's coming back in the game. AD's coming back in. You know, he had his shirt on, the towel over his shoulder. For the last few minutes, it looked like, hey, that's going to be it. And he didn't look like he was even close to coming back in, and now he's back in the game. How about that? I said it there, and it comes out here.
I'll tell you
what,
you're trying to take us down a deep, dark path. Especially if they had a live bet.
Yeah. Wait a minute. He's not in. So still a 10-point lead from the Lakers with just over 7 minutes left to go. Yes, AD is back in the game. Everybody making a big sigh of relief after seeing that. But this is a story I've wanted to do all day.
Okay.
I got big stuff from the NFL. I wanted to do this story all day. Now, it actually affects your team, Mike Harmon.
How about that?
One of the big stories earlier today in the NFL was the Bears waiving one of their longtime Pro Bowl offensive linemen, Charles Leno. Right? I mean, it was a big deal this morning. He was a seventh round pick, and he turned into a Pro Bowler. And you know, they drafted his heir apparent, and now they're moving on and they're letting him go. So I wanted to. I said, okay, well, now I have to do this story as if Berman was going to be announcing it.
No.
So I mean, I have to do it. You got to give me some of these here. I mean, I've been waiting to do this all day long.
All day.
Like
I've
spent all day thinking. I can't wait to do the part where Berman announces Charles Leno getting waived by the Bears.
No, God, please, no.
No, come on.
No.
Let me do it. You got to let me do it.
No.
All right, here we go. All right, hang on. All right, here we go. Berman announcing Charles Leno getting waived by the Bears. Here we go. And TJ, the Bears tonight show Leno the door in a big roster shakeup. TJ.
Okay.
TJ.
Yeah.
Charles Leno will be jaywalking his way to a new team. TJ.
TJ, you got a jaywalking in. Nicely done.
Leno's headlines say he's been let go by the Bears. TJ.
Ooh. Okay. Are you going to get a Leno canceled in?
Hang on. Okay. I got a couple more.
All right.
TJ, Leno takes one on the chin as he's released by the Bears. TJ.
Chin joke.
TJ, the Bears breaking up the left side of the offensive line of Harley, Davidson, and Leno. TJ.
Oh, my goodness.
And this one's my favorite. This is my favorite. TJ, the Bears wave Leno, the details down to the letter. Man, I didn't see this coming.
Oh, man.
That was my favorite. I go, how do I get Letterman in? How do I get Letterman in?
Yeah, hey, Paul Schaefer.
You know, I look for a Kevin Eubanks line. I look for a Stuttering John line. But I said, no,
think about it. It's been a minute. What's
with
Eubanks doing these days?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, he got paid, so I mean, he's fine.
Yeah. Now, everybody walks away from The Tonight Show, apparently. They just he had like all those musical directors just walked away. But I've been waiting to do that all day. I'm glad you let me do that, buddy. I really
would have tried to stop you, but I don't have a mute button from my side of the console.
But really, I mean, details down to the letter, man. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, he went on Twitter and he said goodbye, and obviously, you know, people immediately speculate he'll end up a member of the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. But when you draft the heir apparent and you've tied up a lot of money into a couple of scrub quarterbacks, I mean, what else are you going to do?
we tied up a lot of money into these guys that suck, so we don't have any money for you.
11.3. Against the cap, dead cap of $5 million. You spent money on Nick Foles, and then you spent another $10 million on Andy Dalton. Something's got to give. You already got rid of Kyle Fuller. You jettisoned him because of it, and now you lose another member of your offensive line. Look, I'm excited for Tevin Jenkins to show up, and like I said, I think the guy's going to be legitimately a bear mauling people, but this guy gets shown the door because of fiscal mismanagement.
We had to pay our QB1, man. And I mean, and he's not really going to be our QB1 because the other guy we picked is going to be our QB1. But never mind. You know what? You're just done. You're gone. We're getting out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So my idea for the NFL draft, right? We just watched a whole weekend of the NFL, and likely you were keeping track of it on Saturday when you were going through rounds 4 through 7, and Friday the second and third rounds, all this. But what about this? Just think about this for a second, right? If you all, because the NFL draft has gone from, hey, it's all day Saturday and Sunday, and we do the draft in 2 days. Now it's, well, we're going to parse it out over a whole weekend, and now it's, well, the first round is Thursday, the next two rounds are Friday, and then we finish up on Saturday. How about this? Right? How about this? The NFL draft is done in April over the entire month.
A full month plus
of the NFL draft. What we do is this. The NFL draft every day for the first round, it takes a month. The next rounds can go for like a week, right? The next rounds can go for a week. Rounds 2 and 3 and 4 through 7. You can parse that out over a week. But the first round is a month. And every day, what it is it's a half-hour show. that NFL Network has and ESPN has or Fox has, and that you do a half-hour show and one team makes a pick. So the first half-hour show on April 1st would be, okay, here we go. We're ready to go. The Jaguars are on the clock. We start, you know, Roger Goodell says the Jaguars are on the clock, and they go to analysis, and after a few minutes, we find out they pick Trevor Lawrence. The analysts talk about Trevor Lawrence for a couple of minutes. Trevor Lawrence does an interview with the guys. They finish, and then the last few minutes, they preview the second pick of the draft, which is tomorrow night. And boom. Done. And then the next night's the same thing. Second pick comes. Jets are on the clock, right? Let's see. What could they do? We talk about it for a few minutes. And then they make the pick. It's Zach Wilson. They analyze it for a couple minutes. Zach Wilson does an interview. Then it finishes up by saying, okay, there's the Jets, your first two picks. Now, third pick on the clock tomorrow. The 49ers tune in. And that's every night for the month. 32 nights in a row, everybody makes a pick. Everybody makes a pick. Then we finish, and then we get to, like, the week of the rest of the draft, where, like, the one day is round two, one day is round three, one day is round four, and then we get, you know, round five, then maybe round six and round seven can be together in one night. But you could have a full 5 nights of the draft that following full week, Monday through Friday.
That's amazing.
I have just made the NFL draft go for 5 weeks, and it's a half-hour show, and every single night people would watch. And we talk about it, and you make the draft go. It doesn't matter if someone's picking 17th in the draft. It doesn't matter. We'll spend a half hour on that show, and it would be awesome, right? You didn't think we'd be able to start the show and say, okay, well, we're going to see the Raiders are on the clock. Oh, it's Alex Leatherwood. Oh, my God. And that's a whole night's worth. That's a whole news cycle. 32 nights of one round for the NFL draft, and then the rest of it is a week. That's a winner. Everybody
would
watch.
Here's my 89th mock draft.
Here it is, right here.
And I do 1,000 words every night on the next pick. I mean, I got content for days. Here's the guys they could take in this slot, and then there's like seven.
Yeah.
You know, and you do a bunch of video montages of who might be the next selection. Yeah, no, you could program. I mean, it could be an hour. Easy.
Ooh, you think we could do an hour?
Oh, yeah. Then,
you could do an hour?
And then all of May, once the draft is done, right? You have the first week of May is the rest of the rounds. The rest of the month are all the behind the scenes. Here's some grab ass at the Rams house for the guys that didn't have COVID and made it in there.
I want that to be the title. Grab ass at the Rams house. I want that to be the title of the show.
I think that should be the team's slogan for 2021.
Grab ass at the Rams house.
You know, it used to be for the Warriors all those years ago when I lived in the Bay Area. It was, you know, the NBA was a great time out, and the Warriors did a bunch of kind of quick little jagged lines off of that kind of base. And so it was, all right, here's another bobblehead night. You know, the Chris Mullen 2.0. So you could do it that way. But this is, you know, the Rams draft. Right, and here we are in the house, and there's a lot of footage of people, you know, bowing down to that picture of Roger Goodell. And what goes on after night? It's like Big Brother's after dark, right? Mm-hmm. So what are they doing? They got into the tequila, and then they start telling stories of drafts gone by and missed picks and failed calls and, oh, we almost got over on that GM. I mean, there's so much good that could come from it. I mean, we just programmed a whole network for another month.
I mean, think about it. Do you really need to not have the draft? I mean, we could have it every night. Doesn't matter. Hey, we have the Titans coming up at 22. Who could they take? Doesn't matter. Just the mystery of who they could take would be enough.
Well, right? And then maybe there's also the wild card. You know what? You know, we introduce a thing where one of your division foes gets to make the pick for you.
Oh, wow. Now that would be changing things. That changes things up.
You know, here you go. But it can't be a first-round pick, but it'll lay around. Someone can run up and press a buzzer and say, all right, you're no longer on the clock. Like, you either take them off the clock and they get skipped, you know, for three picks or some nonsense. And then, look, we're changing everything else up. Why not have
the Jaguars take Trevor? Whoa, and here comes some Jets fans. Oh, they're taking over the stage.
You know, yeah, look, man, we're not too far from that. I was watching what was going down as part of that Man United thing. I've got a whole rant of that.
It's a mess.
That I'll do separately, and you can look out for that on social media. But I mean, hey, who's to say it doesn't start next there? It's like, you know what? We're tired of the way the draft works. Anarchy from the fans. We have taken this pick.
No, I think that would work, and I like it because I know Jets fans would be at the forefront of it. Like, they'd be the ones that would strong-arm their way into making every
pick. Well, it'd be the Jets and Eagles fans, and since they're all wearing green, you can't tell them apart.
Yeah, that's true. And the Jets and Eagles have made a combined 17 of the first 18 picks here in the first round because their fans have beaten everybody else up.
They have been very aggressive in this new world of pick exchange, which I really thought it would be about front office people doing it, but you bring in the fans directly.
Fans are going to do it. Da, 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 da. Da. Only the Bears who got their fans to the podium quickly was able to draft Justin Fields. Every other pick has been a Jets or Eagles draft pick. Boy, here we are, pick number 23.
I've seen a lot of fights coming out of Soldier Field in my day. Bears fans ain't no joke because it's a long walk from that stadium back to Michigan Avenue to go find yourself a cab, man. Lots of bad things happen along the Lakeshore.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, hey, I have a big, bold prediction for you on the NBA playoffs coming off of what LeBron said last night and what could happen with the Lakers at the end of this suddenly close one with the Nuggets. That's coming up next right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
NWO.
Right now, in the NBA, we could be seeing a shocker. 15 seconds left to go. The Lakers, without LeBron James, lead the Nuggets 93-89. Again, 15 seconds left to go. It's been a big night for Jokic with 32-9 rebounds. Anthony Davis 25-7. But this could be the night where people said, oh, Nikola Jokic just lost the MVP.
It couldn't beat
the Lakers in a nationally televised game. Oh, you can't win the MVP now. Oh, we have to give it to Steph. This could be the night he loses the MVP.
Look at you. You immediately inserted Steph Curry right back into the top of that discussion. You look at Jokic, 12 of 28 on the night, 32-9-5. Campazzo. I don't know how to pronounce the man's last name. He drew a cool foul, 3 of 6, but for 8 points. Porter Jr., 8 of 15. They're really not getting a lot of support. 6 of 24 as a team from 3-point range, and you're seeing some nice little contributions from the bench for the Lakers in this one. That's the tale of the tape.
And I'll tell you something interesting that just happened. The Lakers have won the game 93-89. The Nuggets were going for a three-pointer to cut it to one. AD comes all the way out with a Hakeem Warrick-like block that helped Syracuse win the NCAA tournament.
I was going to say, you better give context to that.
He comes out with a huge block, and the ball gets free. AD comes up with it, dribbles out the clock, and afterwards said about 5 times in a row, tapping his chest, going, we're back. I mean, I know I'm reading his lips the right way because I've been doing this now for a long time, but he dribbles out the clock after that big block, tapping his chest, going, we're back. Other players came over to slap his hand, congratulations, and he kept saying, we're back. This is a huge huge win for the Lakers. I can't tell you how big a win this is, because you look at how bad things are, right? LeBron James complaining about, hey, whoever came up with the idea for the 7-10 play-in games, it needs to be fired. No Dennis Schroeder for the next 10 to 14 days due to COVID protocols. Mm-hmm. LeBron sitting out tonight, re-aggravating his injury. Here you are playing the Nuggets, who have been rolling, who have the presumptive MVP in Nikola Jokic, and you're thinking, this is when the Lakers fall out of sixth. And we start getting ready to get those Lakers-Warriors play-in game preview notes ready. And instead, they come up with just a huge effort across the board, 93-89. It wasn't pretty. Not a lot of offense in this game, but enough to get it done. AD with the big block at the end. And sometimes not all wins are created equal. Yeah. This is like one of those wins where the Lakers absolutely had to have it, and it's so big for them. I mean, it really, you can't quantify it right now.
25-7, three blocks on the night. Not bad for a guy who, for a moment, looked like, for whatever reason, he had re-aggravated some injury and had to stand on the sidelines, right? He was in the tunnel, towel on the shoulder and shooting shirt on and all of that stuff. Finish with 33 minutes on the night. You get 10 each from Gasol and Horton Tucker off the bench. He had a big shot down the stretch to keep that lead at 4, and Gasol off the bench. When Drummond got in trouble, he came off the bench with 3 of 4 from three-point range, plus 17 on the night. For Drummond, he had 0 rebounds tonight. That ends a streak of 637 games with at least one rebound in his NBA career. So there's your random factoid on the night. But yes, an absolutely huge game. Laker fans are just thumping their chest, and hot take artists right now are crafting their tweets and 500 words of, the Lakers have their superstar. They don't need LeBron James.
We're back. I mean, I'm watching AD do it again. We're back.
I mean,
We're
I
back.
Just said We're it. Back. I mean, We're that's back. It. Yeah, We're it's back. It's AD's team. And anybody else who wants to ride. That's going to be the take tomorrow. You heard it here first.
Anthony Davis with his new running mate, Talen Horton-Tucker, with 10 off the bench. The new Lakers with a win over the Nuggets.
TJ.
Come on. Marv Albert does it. That's Berman does. That was Marv Albert.
Oh, that was a terrible Marv Albert.
That was a great Marv Albert. Are you kidding?
No.
Not exactly. You know who told me I had a great Marv Albert impression?
Who's that?
Plaxico
Marv
Burris.
Albert?
No, Marv Albert. That is a great impression. And I said, yes, and the... No. Plaxico Burris told me I had a great Marv Albert.
How about
impression.
That?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I'm not lying to you. He did.
The man they called Stretch Armstrong at up on game.
Right. Yeah. Not exactly what Mike Harmon had in mind. Timeout Knicks. They want to talk it over.
No, it's good to see Anthony Davis put his stamp on his team and take over when LeBron is worried about play-in games and all of this other nonsense, that he asserted himself. Yeah, and how long does it take to get a three-point shot off, by the way? Good God!
Well, that still was that was took, AD.
No, he but that like, took forever. It was such a slow release to let him recover.
Well, you thought you had enough time.
He looked like freaking Plastic Man coming at him. That arm got out there. It's like, good God, man.
That was pretty impressive. That was a pretty impressive block, I'll tell you. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, we get into what LeBron said yesterday that's going to result in a big change in the NBA. Plus, the MVP award I can absolutely give to Steph Curry. That's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.